In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brethren, Saint Jerome said that to ignore the Holy Scriptures is to ignore Christ Himself. Because Christ is the Word of God made flesh. Some people have this strange idea that the Scriptures are for the Jews or for the Protestants, and that the Church, the Catholic Church, has nothing to do with the Bible. Well, that's heretical. It's true. The Word of God was indeed with the Jews. However, when our Lord Jesus Christ came, He took the Holy Scriptures from the hands of the synagogue and gave them to the Church as a treasure of inestimable value. So the Church became, by the will of our Lord Himself, the only lawful guardian, the only lawful guardian of the Word of God. Therefore, only the Catholic Church has authority to teach the nations in the name of Christ. The Jews lost this authority, and the Protestants never had it. Luther simply stole the Bible when he divorced from the Catholic Church. In this way, my brethren, the Holy Scriptures belong to us. The Bible is ours. And we are all called to cherish this precious treasure that we have received from God Himself. And that's why the liturgy of the Church is all embroidered with the words of the Holy Scriptures, like a very fine tapestry. Every day, the Holy Church invites us to enter in contact with the inspired Word of God, which has the power to teach, to correct our behavior, and to instruct us how to walk in justice and holiness in the eyes of the Lord. That being said, let us take a look at the words of the Holy Scriptures that the Church gives us on this day. In the Epistle to the Galatians, St. Paul talks about Abraham and his two sons. He says, "It is written that Abraham had two sons, one from the slave and one from the free woman. The one born from the slave was born according to the flesh, but the one born from the free woman was born according to the promise of God." And here we have to be attentive, because as St. Paul says, these things are spoken in figure. Which means that these words hide a mystery. And it is Saint Paul himself who gives us the key to understand this mystery. The two sons of Abraham represent the two testaments. The son of the slave, Ishmael, is a figure of the Old Testament. And the son of the free woman, Isaac, is a figure of the New Testament. Ishmael represents the synagogue of the Jews, while Isaac represents the Church of Christ. Ishmael was born first and enjoyed all the favors of his father until the coming of Isaac. Because when the son of the promise appeared, the son of the flesh was obliged to give him his place. In the same way, the Jews were the people of God until the coming of the Messiah. But when Christ came and was rejected by the Jews, they lost their inheritance, and the Church of Christ became the new people of God, the new and true Israel, and replaced the synagogue. Just like what happened with the two sons of Abraham, the New Testament replaced the Old Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ declared that the old law was to rule until John the Baptist. But after John, it was to be replaced. So the old law was to be replaced, but not in the sense that it would be abolished, but in the sense that it would be accomplished, fulfilled in the new law. Because the goal of the old law was to point to Christ, just like Saint John the Baptist did. Behold the Lamb of God. But when St. John the Baptist died, the time of the law came to an end. And then began the time of the gospel, which will last until the end of times. And it was to show this transition from the law to the gospel that the church chose for this day, the gospel of the multiplication of the loaves. Because this great miracle took place right after the death of St. John the Baptist, right after the end of the time of the old law. We read in the gospel that our Lord went over the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain with his disciples. And a great multitude followed them, but they didn't have what to eat. And then one of the disciples told our Lord, "Here, there is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." So our Lord took the loaves and the fishes in his hands, and giving thanks, he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. And our Lord fed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a miracle of the multiplication. However, there is something even greater hidden in the words of the gospel. My brethren, if we look carefully, we will be able to see the same mystery St. Paul talks about in his epistle. We will be able to see also in the gospel the transition from the old law to the new law. That multitude that followed our Lord symbolizes the world, which was hungry and thirsty, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of God. And the boy who had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes represents the synagogue, who had the 5 books of Moses, together with the prophets and the psalms. And then our Lord took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes from the hands of the boy and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples distributed them to the multitude. And it means that our Lord took the scriptures from the hands of the Jews and gave them to the church. And it is the mission of the church to distribute the word of God to the entire world. The Lord said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." So yes, a great miracle took place when our Lord fed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But an even greater miracle took place when the law gave place to the gospel and our Lord fed the entire world with his teachings. And it is a spiritual miracle still happens to this day and will continue until the end of times, because Christ will always continue to feed the multitude through the church. So we can conclude that the shepherds of the church have this mission to feed the people of God with the bread of truth. That bread that comes from the 2 hands of Christ, which means from Holy Scriptures and from tradition. The 2 hands of Christ. But nowadays, we see a shocking reality. We see shepherds, from the bottom to the top, being unfaithful to their mandate, being unfaithful to their duty to give the people the bread of Christ. They dare to think that the doctrine of Christ is not good enough, is not merciful enough. So they try to change it. My brethren, I tell you, if anyone, whoever he may be, offers you a bread that does not come from the hands of Christ, if someone teaches a doctrine that does not come from Holy Scriptures and tradition, you must not receive his teaching. You must not eat of his bread. Because what he's trying to give you is not the bread of Christ, but the poisoned bread of heresy. So we have to be careful. So my brethren, let us remain faithful to the true faith. But also let us put into practice the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believing is essential. Believing in the truth is essential, but it's not enough. Faith alone will not save us. But we also need to put into practice the faith we profess with our mouth. And if we do so by faith and good works, we shall be able to rejoice, looking forward to the reward which is promised to all those who accomplish the will of God. And this reward is to have a place in the heavenly Jerusalem, which is our true homeland, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what we should be looking for this Lent and every day of our lives, to live in such a way that we may be able one day to have a place in heaven. Because, my brethren, that's the goal. And I would say the only goal of our lives, to have a place in heaven. So let us not miss it. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.